Tales with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed.
Well, good morning. I am Belinda Gale, and welcome to Blessed Trails. We are so pleased and proud to bring you this radio show that features incredible guests that are very diverse from all walks of life, mostly having to do with the Western lifestyle. So it's Western music, Western poetry, and artisans, and just all kinds of fun stuff. It's just our honor to bring this to you. And this morning we have a sweetest guest. I just love this little doll. I've seen her grow from a just beginning to play her guitar to just soaring to the top of the Western music genre. And that's little Miss Kristen Harris. But first, before we bring her on, we're going to listen to a song that is so, so fun, and it's going to be so appropriate for our show today, because we're going to be talking about some of her travels, this girl is on a whirlwind. So we're going to be listening to I've Been Everywhere.
I was toting my pack along a dusty Amarillo road, when along came a semi with a high and canvas covered load. And he said, if you're going to Amarillo with me, you can ride. So I climbed up in the cab and I settled down inside. He asked me, have you seen a road with so much dust and sand? And I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man. Share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Waco, Hico, Hondo, Navasota, Winsboro, Jacksboro, Hillsboro, San Rose, Austin, Houston, Galveston, Texarkana, Frisco, Buffalo, Conroe, Corsicana, Goliad, Grosse Pete, Glen Rose, Red Oak, Post Oak, Live Oak, Lone Oak, no joke. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man, breathe mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Croomerville, Pflugerville, Van Home, Valverde, Bakerville, Bartonville, Beeville, Bulverde, Bear Creek, Cedar Creek, Mill Creek, Mineola, Maypro, Monahan, Telephone, Tuscola, Redwater, Round Rock, Round Top, Round Lake, Sour Lake, South Lake, Spring Lake, for Pete's sake. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man, breathe the mountain air, man. Traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Greenville, Gatesville, Gainesville, Alameda, Kerrville, Killerville, Bastrop, Benavides, Sermon, Smithville, Stephenville, Prairie View, Lookamock, Longview, Plainview, Waterloo, Justin Junction, Panorama, Pasadena, Angelina, and Lorena, say what I mean. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man, breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Valley Mills, Pine Mills, down by Sickerville, New Home, New Hope, New Deal, Liberty Hill, Rockport, Rock Creek, Ridge,
favorite brown one, Clipper Ranch. You cut two cobweb, baby, bass, side, bay, town, bass, city, false city, center, center, bridge, city, water, pretty. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the desert, fair, man. Breathe mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share. I've been everywhere in Texas.
Oh my goodness, that song always makes me laugh. Well, I am so proud to bring to our show today the youngest person ever to win both Female Performer of the Year and Entertainer of the Year with the Western Music Association. Her star is shooting for sure, and she's just a shining example of the youngsters that are coming up in Western music. And I am so proud to welcome to the show Miss Kristen Harris. Welcome, Kristen.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be on the show.
Oh, gosh, it's been a while. That's not the only time we get to talk is when we're at gigs or and even
I know.
And I consider Chris, I'm Aunt B to Kristen. Yeah, she's just this the sweetest thing. And, oh, my goodness, I think about when the first time I ever saw you at the Western Music Association, you were just kind of, I mean, you were coming along, but you was definitely a little tentative. It was you're just learning.
Yes, I was.
Oh my gosh. And just now you just command the stage and you just are just so amazing. But I'm so excited. And this is going to be a fun show because I'm sure you have umpteen zillion stories, but we're going to talk about, you had quite the summer of travel this summer. You were, I don't think you were even home hardly at all, except to unpack, wash
Not
clothes,
much.
And repack and leave, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you know that story.
Oh, I do. I've been living it for a lot of years now. A lot of years. Oh, gosh. Well, we kicked off the summer together, really, in June in Idaho. So you want to tell our listeners about that wonderful gig that we got to do together?
Oh, my gosh. I love that event that our mutual friends, the Moores, put on every year in Idaho. They call it their ranch gathering. And it's a way to bring the gospel to people that might not want to step inside a church. And so it's just a big gathering of ranch people and you and I both got to sing for it, and Jeff Gore, and they had a message, and I just love that, and I love the Moores and their ranch, and my cattle are there too. So,
yes. and that is so fun. They are just the most precious people, and they put in to make that thing happen just blows my mind. Just blows
my
mind.
Too. How many pies did y'all make?
30 something pies.
30
I think,
pies in one day.
In one day, we had a pie making machine going on there, and I'm so thankful. I got to know them and actually got involved with that gig the first time because you were headed to Hawaii, and it was going to conflict with that, and you'd been doing
that for a couple of years.
And
That's
you
right.
recommended, they had no idea who I was at all. You recommended me, which was, thank you so much for doing that. So they flew me up there, and Jan and I just clicked, and I walked in the door and started washing dishes. it was pie making day, and they had dishes piled up in the sink, and they kept digging stuff out they'd used, but now they needed it again. So I jumped in and started washing, and I think I washed dishes for 3 hours straight. Just wash dishes
and give it back, and wash it, and gave it back, and it was crazy.
But boy, we had that pie making thing fine tuned this time.
You did. I was so impressed.
And I have to tell a fun little story on you because you are a self admitted and proclaimed outdoor cowgirl. Your growing up years were not in the house. Taking care of the house.
No.
Your growing up was outside doing chores, taking care of critters, doing whatever needed to be done outside. And so they laugh. I get so tickled because they said she is like in the house for 2 seconds and bam, she's gone. She's out with the animals. And they said one time you came in and said, is there anything I can do to help you all? And they said, yeah. And they said, you can do this and that. And Glenn got a couple of things you could do there in the house. And you went, oh, dang, you know what? I think it's time to feed the horses. and back out the door you went. They go, that's Kristen. They said, she will do anything you want. Outdoors, she'll work her tail off. But boy, when it comes to inside, not so much. Pretty cute girlfriend. So where did you head out after that?
Oh man, you're going to ask me to remember this. Okay, let's see. In June, I went. No, in July. That was the end of June. Mm-hmm. In July, I went to Durango, Colorado, and
you were there just before I was there a couple weeks.
Yeah,
before I
at
was.
The Strader Theater. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun gig. That was so cool.
That is a fun gig with Carol Hukin. Yeah.
Yes, she's hilarious. Well, let's do a song real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about Carol and the Strader a little bit, because that's a pretty interesting little show that happens there. And so we're gonna be doing the Maiden's Prayer. And why did you choose to record this song? This is a cover song.
I've always thought it's a beautiful song, and it's also a Bob Wills song, and so it's just one I really took to, and I've always liked.
Pretty, it's one of my favorites too. So let's listen to Chris. You know, I think every time I hear that song, it's an instrumental. So it's really fun to listen to the words.
Right. It's true. It's usually done as a fiddle tune.
Yes, it is. So, but really nice words. Really good job. And I really love, Kristen, how you combine just the wonderful old standards with the new stuff, and then with your own. You do a really nice mix. It's very, very pleasing.
Well, thank you.
And your performances.
Thank you.
You did a great job with that. And that's a lot of putting the show together is a big part of these shows, because some people
it
don't
is.
Understand
yes.
that. And they put up, they string a bunch of songs together that are very similar. All great songs stand as standing
right.
alone by themselves. But when you string them together and they're too similar, they kind of get lost in each other. So it's really,
sure.
you do a really good
yeah.
job. You do a great job of mixing it up. Great job of mixing it up. So the Straighter, wasn't that an interesting, that's the neatest little theater there in Durango, Colorado at the historic
oh, it
Straighter
is cool.
Hotel. And
yeah.
Carol is the, she's from actually from Australia. She's a really major cowboy poet or cowgirl poet, I guess, from
yes.
Australia.
Hilarious.
So did she do her cockroach rap when you were there?
No, she didn't. I missed
I think
that.
I think she just started doing that when I was there, and it was, I mean, it wasn't one thing cowboy about it, but the audience
right.
just went wild. It was crazy.
I can imagine Carol doing something like that.
Yeah, she has the sweetest sense of humor. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, that's a cool concert series they do all summer long with a different artist each week. So that's something
yeah.
that our listeners may want to put on their calendar. So where did you head after the Straighter?
I went to Cheyenne Frontier Days in Wyoming the next weekend, I think. So that was really cool. Michael Martin Murphy asked me to come out there. Yeah. That was my first time to get to see Cheyenne Frontier Days, and it was really awesome. And they had when I was there, they had this Western music stage. And it was Corinne Marie, another young performer, and then
right.
Michael Martin Murphy. And then I think they brought in Mickey Daniel the next week. But anyway, that was really fun. I got to be
wow.
there for 2 days. Yeah.
So what stood out to you about that particular rodeo?
Oh, well, probably the wild horse race. yeah, it was pretty incredible. Almost everybody got on their horses, and the Cheyenne Frontier Days arena is so gigantic. I've never seen an arena so long. And then they have this track all the way around it for races, and everybody has to get on their saddle and get on their wild horse and make it all the way around the track, not just a short distance. So anyway,
really,
yeah. It was really incredible. I've never seen anything, a wild horse race like that before. So
I haven't either. Usually it's if you can get on and make it through these two barrels, bucking
right.
all the way. And,
yeah.
it's not very far away from where everything is happening. So I can't even imagine to make it all the way
crazy.
Around the track.
Yeah, the track goes all the way around behind the audience seating and everything. It's long.
Oh my goodness. That would have been really fun. So where did
yeah.
you head after, because we're getting, you did a tour through Europe, that's what we really are wanting to talk about. So did you have another gig after Cheyenne before you headed to Europe?
No, I think it was the very next week that I flew to Italy, and I
wow.
was in Europe for 2 weeks.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow. Well, before we get into that, so we'll talk about Italy after this next song, and then we'll go on to France after the next song. So
okay.
let's go ahead and listen to, this is another one that's a classic old song that I really, really love, and you do a beautiful job on it, and it's Bloom is on the Sage with Kristen Harris.
I love it.
For most folks, there's a spot that lives forever. Deep down within their fondest memories. Though I have been a rover, I have never seen any place would rather be. When it's roundup time in Texas and the bloom is on the sage, how I long to be in Texas, riding on the range. Just smell the bacon frying when it's sizzling in the pan. Hear the breakfast horn in the early morn, drinking coffee from a can. Just a riding, rocking, roping. To be again when the bloom is on the sage.
Yodel. So good. Okay, so take us to Italy with you. Tell us what happened.
Oh, Italy was amazing. My flight over there was long, but when I finally arrived, it was like the very next day. I played at a festival in Senigallia, Italy, which is in southern Italy, right on the sea. And it was beautiful there, but also really hot. And the festival was not really a Western or country festival, but it was lots of different kinds of music, and there was a lot of dancers there, and everyone was kind of dressed up in vintage outfits from 40s or 50s. And there was a lot of people there, probably 20 or 30,000. And so I got to rehearse with a band of Italian musicians. And then we did a show that night, and it was totally a blast. It was totally a blast. And it was in this outdoor big giant courtyard with everyone just standing. And then after that was just my one gig in Italy. And so I actually have a friend who lives in Italy that I met when I was in Europe for the first time last year, playing in France. She's a cowboy hat maker, and that's what she does for a business. And
wow, in Italy?
In Italy, it's unusual.
Wow,
the only one, but her family has been doing it, her been making hats since 1862. It's been like this family business. They used to make, you know, more of the like top hats and bowler hats and stuff
right
back then.
Of course.
But anyway, so I met her because she was selling her hats at the festival in France last year. And she came down to Senegalia where I was playing, and I got to hang out with her for the rest of the week because my next gig in Europe wasn't until France, like a week later. So I got to just see Italy and experience Italy and go to Venice and Verona and up to northern Italy. And I think Venice was my favorite. Everything there is so old, it takes you right back in time. It's just so cool, which is
wow. Your favorite? There are so many landmark kind of things around. What was your favorite thing that you saw when you were in Venice?
Well, I mean, there's like incredible buildings and churches, but really just like when I first entered Venice, we got there at night, actually. It was dark and everything's lit up and you just see everything along the canal. It's just like, it feels like you're in a whole different world, and just like being there and walking through the streets that are just canals and walking over the little footbridges and everything. It's just really wild. I think that was my favorite part of it.
It was almost magical.
It was. It was. That's how it felt.
Wow. So did you have any issues with language barriers? I mean, I don't think you speak Italian that I know of.
I do not speak Italian. No, I don't. I picked up a few important words while I was there. But fortunately, most of the time I was in Italy, I was with my friend, and she speaks English as well as Italian, so she did a lot of translating. But yeah, the language barrier, especially if I hadn't had her, would have been difficult. And often I was left in the dark if she was talking to someone and I had no idea what was going on. And the food was interesting because, I mean, she could tell me what the menu said, but she's used to eating different foods than I am. And most of what I didn't realize about Italy is that most of their meat dishes, if you're like looking to order something with meat or protein in it, it's almost always raw. So
what?
That kind of, yeah, Italians eat a lot of raw meat, just like a whole pile of just raw meat on the plate, like on a bed of lettuce, or sometimes it's sliced really thin and it's in some lemon juice, but it's still completely raw. And
is that a regional thing, or did you know that no matter where you went?
Everywhere in Italy. And she told me it's normal and people over there are used to it. And I guess their stomachs are used to it too. I don't know, but to them it's totally normal. Like I'm used to eating meat, a lot of meat, and so I would, you know, look for a dish with some meat in it rather than just pasta all the time. And
right.
But I stopped doing that once I figured out that you really can't find anything that's not basically completely raw. It's just that's their traditional dishes. And it was really interesting.
Oh my gosh.
So
that
was
crazy.
Not the food experience I was expecting in Italy. But
you're thinking, I'm going to get the most awesome Italian food that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah!
I did. I was. Wow. Like, Italian food is going to be amazing. But, I mean, of course, the pastas were incredible. They were all handmade, and the pesto and everything was just incredible. But, yeah, it was very different.
Wow. Yeah. And there, I was in Italy for just like a week one time, just in one spot though, and we didn't experience the raw meat thing, but the pizza was shocking. I was like, what?
It's
so did you get
different.
Did you have pizza while you were there?
I did, and like they don't put very much cheese on it, or at least the pizza I had.
No.
And but I also had pizza where, like, I was trying to order toppings on the pizza to get myself some protein, and the toppings were raw as well. So I'm glad you didn't experience that.
Well, we kind of did. It was with my late husband and I went, and we ordered a pizza, and we ordered, you know, several different toppings on it. And I don't know about where you were, but where we were, it came like, instead of them spread around the top of the of course, there was very little cheese. There was no sauce at all on ours.
Oh, my goodness.
And it had little ice cream scoops, if you did mushrooms, there was like an ice cream scoop of mushroom. And then another place just ice cream scoops of, I know, so we just had, you know, scattered it all over the pizza, and they just kind of looked at us weird. It was strange, but yeah, that was an experience.
Wow.
That was an experience.
No, I didn't have that, but that's it's so different. Everybody thinks pizza in Italy is going to be the,
Not at all. And I know this is your second trip to Europe, but were you surprised with the breakfast? Like what people have for breakfast in Europe.
They don't really eat breakfast unless it's something. Yeah, they. I mean, eggs and bacon and stuff. They call that an English breakfast. So, mostly croissants or some sort of sweet bread and coffee is what I saw.
Maybe some cheese, but that's about it.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Or maybe some ham or something.
My late husband was a big breakfast eater, loved great big breakfasts, and we were at this place where breakfast is included, which most places are. So we went down to breakfast, and there was a big long table of all kinds of pastries and things like you're talking about. And they had a little bit of cheese, a little plate of some cheeses, and then coffee. So I went through and gathered some stuff up, and he was right behind me, and so we went walking, and we sat down, and he didn't pick up anything, and he sat down, and he says, "So where's the menu?" And I said, there is no menu, honey. This is it. This is breakfast." And he said, "No, where's the menu?" And I said, "There's no menu. This is it." He goes, "No, really, where's the menu?" I said, "Seriously, this is it. This is how they eat in Europe. This is it. You're not going to get anything else." He would not believe me. He goes, "Well, I'm going to go find some place. Let's go find some place that serves breakfast." I said, "You're not going to find any place." And so he left. He said he was leaving. And so he did. And I said, "I'll see you back at the room." So I just went ahead and finished my breakfast, and I went back to the room, and there he was eating some like canned meat out of a can and stopped at a little grocery store. There was nothing. It was hilarious.
Nothing.
Anyway,
it's so different.
It is crazy different. Oh gosh. Well, we're gonna get off of food right now. I'm hungry. We're gonna go to a song called "Traveling Boots." So, tell us about this song, "Traveling in My Boots."
This was written by Cindy Walker, which is one of the great Western swing songwriters, and she actually wrote it as "Traveling in My Shoes," and I did a little rewrite on it. But anyway, it's just a swingy little tune that fits my situation a lot. So.
All righty, well, let's listen to "Traveling in My Boots."
I got traveling in my boots. I'm gonna breeze along and lose the blues. Just anywhere, I don't care. I got traveling in my boots. I've gotta pay my cowgirl dues. Nothing but city smoke to lose. We got traveling in our shoes. I'd like to be lazy and stretch where it's shady by some little stream. Dream by the hours among birds and flowers where no of her dreams. I got traveling in my boots, and I'm wearing my buckskin suit. I've got the flair for catching air. I got traveling in my boots. Oh. I'm gonna breeze along, lose the blues. Just anywhere, I don't care. Got traveling in my boots. I've gotta pay my cowgirl dues. Nothing but city smoke to lose. My horse and I, we're on the fly. We got traveling in our shoes. Well, I'd like to be lazy and stretch where it's shady by some little stream. Dream by the hours among birds and flowers where no one break up her dreams. I got traveling in my boots, and I'm wearing my buckskin suit. I've got the flair for catching air. Got traveling in my boots. My horse and I were on the fly. I've got traveling, the traveling blues in my shoes.
Oh, good job. Good job. That was fun.
Thank you.
Oh, I love Cyndi Walker's songs. She was so prolific.
I do too.
She has a major, major body of work. It's pretty awesome.
It is.
Good job on the rewrite. That's pretty cool. You did a good job tweaking it here and there. Cowgirling it up a bit, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. Okay, so you were in Italy for a week then, traveling around?
A week, yep.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And then you headed to Paris, so let's talk about Paris. Oh, no, what were you going to say? You have something more to add about
Italy before we
moved to Paris?
Nope. That's where I was going. I just
got
on a train and rode the high-speed train over to Paris and ended up meeting up with Haley Sandoz and her...
Hello?
Also playing. Can you hear me?
I think we lost you for just a second there. So you met up with Haley Sandoz and.
Oh, and her parents, because Haley is also scheduled to play fiddle at the festival in France. So they flew up to Paris and we met up there and got to spend 2 days sightseeing around Paris with them. Which was really fun, but 2 days in Paris it's hard to see everything, really. But
My gosh, yeah.
But I had seen Paris last year, so we just kind of did a brief look at everything and did a whole lot of walking, and and then we had a rental car and we drove to southern France. Which really is my favorite part because we got to see the littler towns in France and stop for lunch in Dijon, France, which is where they make the mustard. And and then the place where we were playing in France was this little bitty mountain town. And I don't know if you've noticed that, like, big festivals are always put on in little bitty towns. Like, even a lot of the cowboy gatherings, like Elko or Alpine or Sierra Vista, they're not in these big cities. They put them in these little bitty towns. And this one is the same thing. All these people flock with their tents or their campers or whatever. And so it was more like rural France, and there's all these little farms and this crazy, windy road going up the mountain that people in Europe drive like maniacs, and they all have these itty bitty cars, and they do not slow down around the curves, and the roads are not wide enough. Most of the roads in Europe were built, maybe some of them before cars were invented, and they're meant for like just foot traffic or maybe a wagon or something, and everything's so narrow, and they just don't have as much space over there. So the driving is really interesting. But anyway, the little town of Saint-Agrève, France, up in the mountains, they have this big festival called Equiblues, Western Festival and Rodeo. And so they have, it goes Thursday through Sunday, and they have concerts every night by different bands, and a rodeo every afternoon. And it's a whole lot of fun. That's the event I got to play last year as well. So,
well, I'm interested. How does their rodeo differ? Is it a copy of our rodeos, or is it like their own kind of version of a rodeo? What was?
Yeah,
I mean, that would be fascinating.
No,
tell us about their rodeo.
It's very different. It's very different. I would say the biggest difference is that roping an animal is illegal in France. So
really?
There are no, yes. So there are no roping events at all. So they do have the rough stock events, the ride bulls and broncs and stuff. And they even had some riders from America. And they added, like, they did some cowboy mounted shooting. Really, what their rodeo is, it's a little more, rather than people entering to win money like they do on the rodeo circuit in America, it's more of like a rodeo for entertainment of the audience, you know? So I don't think anybody's actually competing to win anything in the rodeo. So it's set up to be kind of a show. And so they have some events that we don't have, like these horseback relay races where these guys leap on the horse while they're already running and race around the arena and then jump off and the next guy gets on. And some fun stuff like that. And then they had some like Roman riders, you know, standing up on two or three horses and racing around the arena, and the cowboy mounted shooting, and they did have barrel racing, and
oh, I was wondering about that. Okay.
Yeah, they did, and so a few things
Were you tempted to go out there and show them some of your trick riding?
If I had had a trick riding saddle and horse, I would have loved to do that.
I bet you would have. That's awesome.
Yeah, would have been
you
so
know,
fun.
You know, the craziest thing I've seen at a rodeo was when Bob and I went to the powwow in Gallup, New Mexico, and they have a rodeo that goes along with that. And they had two things that I'd never seen. One was they didn't ride bulls. They rode buffalo.
Oh, really?
Which was crazy, yes. And,
that is crazy.
And then another thing they had was this race that they do where they have this huge buffalo hide that's tied on with a big long rope to a horse. And somebody rides on the hide, and the
oh my gosh!
They gallop. I mean, full run down around this
right.
barrel, and then
being
back
drugged.
To the beginning. And you just have to you can't be like with all of your body parts have to be on the hide when it crosses the finish line. Now you may be rolling around and legs dragging and stuff as you're being pulled.
Right.
But when you cross the finish line, all of you have to be back up onto the hide. And that was insane. And they
that
had
is
little
crazy.
Kids. There were little kids that were doing this. It was like, are you kidding
oh
me?
Goodness.
I've never seen anything like that. But, yeah, it was
that
a
is,
demonstration.
That's,
Yeah, it wasn't really a competition. It was more of a demonstration kind of a
right,
thing.
I think
they have a little prize for somebody at the end. But, yeah,
right.
So that's interesting in Europe that it's just – it's really – well, they probably don't have a lot of rodeos for them to do a circuit in Europe.
I don't think – no, not like here at all. So there's not – you know, you can't make money going around the circuit. But I think in Italy it's different because roping is not illegal in Italy. So they have – team roping events and people doing stuff like that, but the I've only seen the rodeo in France, and so that's what that was like.
So the cowboying, because I know they have there's a rich tradition of working cattle horseback in France. I know that there is. So they don't rope their cattle then?
No, not for the last
wow.
5 years or so, which is when they passed the law.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, so this is a fairly new law. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. It is crazy. I can't even imagine. Man.
Yeah, I can't either.
Well,
I can't either.
I think we have a little more to talk about in France, maybe. But tell me, was it fun? Did you get a lot of people that, like, stopped you? Because I know I saw pictures of you and Haley when you were doing your touring on Facebook. It's so fun to follow you on Facebook. And you guys had your cowgirl, your hats and boots on everywhere you went. Was that?
Yes.
I mean, did that create a little stir wherever you guys went?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we were walking around Paris, and I guess everybody sees all kinds of strange characters in Paris. But mostly what we got was people either passing by us and saying howdy or yeehaw.
Oh. Oh god. And I know when Bob and I we usually have our hats on when we're traveling anywhere, and people always ask us, oh, so you're — they don't even ask, they just tell us, oh, so you're from Texas.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
you guys
well, in our case,
say yes,
that works.
But we're,
yes,
in your case that,
you know,
in your case that works.
Yes, in my case that works. Yeah, the French seem to love Texans. They
yes.
don't necessarily like on. I'm actually going back to France in end of November, and so the posters all advertise Kristen Harris from Texas, not necessarily from the USA,
but from Texas.
But from Texas. Yeah.
Love it. Well, why not? Texas is
why
a
not
state.
It is.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're going to go into another song. Now, this song, I think Gary told me this is one of your Swing Sisters songs, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Swing Sisters.
Tell us about the Swing Sisters.
Swing Sisters is me and Jeannie Cahill and Brooke Wallace. Jeannie's another WMA member, plays all kinds of instruments. But and then Brooke is just an incredible fiddle player here in Texas that I like to play with a lot. And so when I got the Branson gig at Silver Dollar City 3 years ago, I got the two of them to come play with me. And we did a trio thing, played all week in Branson. And the three of us had never played all together before. And at the end of that week, we'd been having so much fun and created so many cool arrangements that Jeannie records. That's what she does a lot. She has all the equipment and the programs and stuff. And so she came to Texas and we set up a little recording booth in my dad's closet and recorded an album together. And we've played each year in Branson together since then. So this is one of the arrangements we came up with, and it was actually Jeannie's idea to do this song. But it gets requested a lot. Everybody asks me about this one, and I think it was originally a Carter Family song, and it just came out as such a fun trio song. So,
wow. Well, I am so eager to hear it. So let's listen to the Swing Sisters singing and performing The Sweetest Gift.
One day, Mother came to Brisa to see her airy but precious son. She told the warden how much she loved him. It did not matter what he had done.
She did not bring him parole or pardon. She brought no silver,
no gold,
no pomp or style
to see.
It was a halo sent down from heaven, the sweetest gift, a mother's smile. Her boy had wandered far from the fireside, though she had pleaded with him each night. Yet not a
amazing together. Holy cow.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, it's just this perfect. When we first got on stage in Branson, I was just like blown away. Brooke has this naturally high voice. Jeannie has a naturally low voice, and my range is kind of in the middle, and the harmonies
right.
just like fell into place. We didn't even have to practice them, and it was just like felt like we'd been singing together forever. It was so cool.
Wow. I bet the audiences were stunned to hear you guys. That is so awesome. I'm glad I'm not
so
following
fun.
you guys at Branson. It's bad enough I'm following Jesse and Devin.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're going to be tearing it up this week.
They will be turning up. I told DA, I said, this isn't really fair. You have the Swing Sisters, then you have Jesse and Devin that are just like, I mean, the most high energy, crazy group that you could ever watch. They're just
Electric
amazing.
Spark plug. Yes.
And then you have me.
You are incredible, Belinda. You have no problem.
Oh my gosh, it's fun. But how was Branson? I bet that was that's one of my favorite gigs.
Oh, I love it. Yes, I love it. We had so much fun. Yeah, I just got back from that Sunday night. So
yes. Were Kent and Shannon there yet?
They weren't. You'll get to see them, I think. But
yes.
a lot of my normal friends, Kent and Shannon and Fred and everybody, they don't arrive till October 4th or something. So I kind of, we were there earlier in the year this year.
Yeah, that happened to me last year when I was there. I was there the very, very, very first week, and nobody was there yet of the people that I, you know, and it was like, I mean, my ritual was to walk up to Kent's camp where he has his chuck wagon all set up. Kent Rollins is who we're talking about for our guest. Cowboy Cook and Dutch Oven Cook Extraordinaire cooks off of an old Studebaker chuck wagon been on the Food Network on numerous shows. He's just so real and so authentic and amazing. But I would walk up there, especially on a cold morning, and we'd all gather around Bertha, their big giant cast iron stove, and drink cowboy coffee and kind of get our morning started. So I was like going through major withdrawals last year. They weren't there. So.
I know. I hated it too.
Yep. So I'm really happy that they're all going to be there this time. So that'll be really fun. And that's for everybody that is listening in the fall every year, Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri. Silver Dollar City is like a theme park that kind of is a throwback to the 1800s. That's the late 1800s.
Yeah.
That's the feel and the costuming of all of the people that work there and the kind of the theme of the rides. And there's tons and tons of artisans that are there year round where you can watch them making pottery and working on wood. But in the fall, they have a combined festival that is the fall craft festival, which they bring in, hundreds more craftsmen that are all over the park that you can buy their wares and watch them do their thing. And then they combine it with a salute to the American cowboy. So they have Western music, and they have Fred Wohl is there showing them how to work with Mustangs. And there's an art show that's all Western art show. They have a swing dance going on at the carousel little theater. And so they have a Wild West show that goes up at the Red Gold. And so it's a definite Western cowboy thing that's going on that's really, really fun. And it goes through September and October before they switch over in November to Christmas stuff. So if you're in the Branson area in September and October, it's definitely something you want to check out. And then they swap out at the one theater, the Riverfront Theater, they swap out Western acts. Each week is a new Western act that comes in.
Yes.
So, and that's what we do. So that is way, way, way fun. Well, I can't believe our hour has just flown. We have so much more to talk about.
Do it another
show, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us, Kristen, a couple of things. First of all, I'm sure people are going to want to get a hold of your albums. I know I want to get my hands on your Swing Sisters album. How fun is that?
Oh, for sure.
That's got to be great. So tell people where they can get a hold of you. The best place to, if they want to hire you, they want to get a hold of your music, where's the best place to do those things?
Best place is my website, kristinharris.com, KristinHarris. And that has, you can get a hold of me, you can buy my music, all that stuff. And then you can also follow me on Facebook. If you look me up on Facebook, because I always post where I'm playing and everything like that. So that's probably the best places to find
me. And Instagram. You're on Instagram.
And Instagram. Facebook and Instagram.
You are a little social media diva. I tell you, you are so – dragging me into this century has been a real challenge because I'm just so not technical and I'm so not – this whole social media thing, I'm trying to get better about it, but oh my gosh,
I understand.
It's like people don't care what I'm doing, really. Although you will not.
Well, they do when you're a stage performer.
I guess. But I do. I doubt seriously. I will say never because I've learned. I will not say never because I've learned to never say never. But I doubt that I will be posting what I'm eating. Yeah, you know, I will not be posting pictures of my food on Facebook.
I don't do that either.
Unless it's something really incredible, you know. I actually took a picture of a friend of mine. We were having breakfast, and she ordered like a fruit and yogurt, and I don't know what. She ordered some fruit plate, and it came out. It looked like a sculpture. It was the most amazing looking thing. They had like these little like sugar and cinnamon coated little breadstick things that were sticking up with fruit kind of all around it drizzled with stuff. I was like, you don't even want to touch it. It's so pretty. You don't want, now that I might post,
right.
But, you know, a picture of people's steak and eggs or whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to.
No. I don't do that either.
Oh gosh. Well, one of the things that I love about you is your heart. I just love how authentic and real you are. And I know that a lot of that stems from your deep walk with the Lord, because you are just a woman of faith. And you walk, you live, you talk, you eat, you sleep, the music and just your walk with the Lord. And so I just really, really appreciate you, sweetie, as a person. You are going to just, you're only, 22 now, I think?
23 now.
Oh, just turned 23. Okay. But you are just at the beginning of this wonderful journey ahead of you. And I am so excited to see where the Lord takes you in all of this. And I'm so proud of you. Just so, you have just grown by leaps and bounds. It's just amazing to see, and inspiring and heartwarming to see. And Western music is in really good hands. So I'm very, very proud of the fact that you've chosen to stay in this music and keep going with this. And we're going to close with you singing one of my very, 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 very favorite old hymns. And thank you for being here. And thank you for just being you, sweetheart. So here is Kristen closing out this part of the show with Amazing Grace. Oh man, so pretty. Well, what a fun show with Kristen. I just love that girl. Just love her. And when I think about Kristen, the word that always comes to my mind is joy. I'm sure she has her ups and downs like we all do, but whenever you're around her, she just exudes joy, just pure, simple, precious joy. And that brought to mind the scripture in Nehemiah 8:10 that says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I truly believe that there is just something about being joyful and choosing joy that infuses you with hope, infuses you with a strength to go on. And when you know the Lord and you can put your trust in Him, I can tell you from experience that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how terrible it is, no matter what challenges you're facing, if you choose joy, and it is a choice, if you choose to focus on it, if you just have to pull out scripture and read everything there is about joy, if you just have to do a marathon of silly, funny movies, whatever you have to do to plug joy back into your life, please do it, because there is just something incredibly miraculous about infusing joy into your life. So I would encourage you, wherever you are today, to embrace that joy and the most precious, sustaining, and strongest joy that you can find is the joy you find in putting your trust completely in the Lord. So for today, I wish you joy. Well, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the gift of your time. And thank you again to our very special guest and my precious little niece, I'll say, because she feels like my little sister, Kristen Harris, for visiting and sharing with us today. And there is, of course, never a big enough thank you for my great producer, Gary Holt. He does amazing work behind the scenes. And please check out the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And remember, they're all archived, so you can listen to them at your convenience. And we even have this great nifty little app that you can load down to your phone that makes it really easy for you to take this show on the go with you. And if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
Joy, I'll carry on. things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed. Of earth that caused my heart to tremble. I'll carry on.